Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Handyman Success Podcast. My name is Jason Call, owner of Handyman Marketing Pros. I'm with my usual partner in crime, my co-host, Alan Lead, owner of Handyman Journey Business Coaching and Honestly Handyman Services in the Sacramento area. If you've been with us for a while, then as you know, our mission with this podcast is to teach and inspire by using the stories of our guests and really the practical day-to-day strategies and things that they do to run their business. We truly do these and record these for you in hopes that you will learn some things that can improve your life, that can improve your business, and inspire you that whether you're new and just starting or you've got an established business, you have the tools, you have the skills, you have the resources to reach your goals and kind of meet the vision that you want within your business. So all that being said, today we have Dan with us in California with Handy Manish. Dan, thanks so much for coming on, man. If you don't mind, give us a little bit about yourself, where you're located, your business, and a little lay of the land.
Sure. Well, my name is Dan Cush. I'm 53. I feel that every day. I probably should have started this business when I was younger, but I was employed by the Los Angeles Fire Department for 20 years as a firefighter paramedic. Been in business for about 2 years, and it's been good. It's been a learning experience, and I think largely my success is due to the influence of Alan Lee with his books. And just somehow, I believe it was my wife actually who stumbled across the Facebook group, and that exposed us to his three books that he wrote, and then the whole community of handymen across the nation that I often bring up to my clients that I'm a part of, who are just trying to make handyman services a legitimate trade, if you will, and a professional endeavor.
Awesome. So where are you located?
Oh, I'm in Los Angeles County, Santa Clarita Valley specifically, which is just about 20 minutes north of the San Fernando Valley, if people know where that's at.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, none of that makes sense to me. I just know that you're right after the grapevine when you're heading
right,
south.
Right, yeah. Or right before it.
Right before it.
Yeah.
Awesome. And if you could kind of also just give us a little bit more snapshot of where you are in the business. 2 years old, if you don't mind sharing kind of your annual revenue from 2022 and kind of what your goal is this year. And do you have any like helpers, owner-operator?
Yeah, I'm an owner-operator right now, a one-man show, although I'm considering making it my goal before the end of the year to hire a helper. I'm starting to book out 2 weeks in advance, and I'm getting busier and busier, and I can only foresee it getting even more busy. In terms of revenue, the first year I was in business, I kind of limped along to about $70,000 in sales. And my bookkeeping was not what it should have been at the time, because I wasn't even sure if I was going to do this or not. I was kind of just doing it. Let me rewind a bit. So I was injured on the fire department, and I was off duty, and it was just while I was off duty, I hit the 20-year mark where I could qualify for a pension, and I was pretty much done with the liabilities associated with being a first responder in Los Angeles, which are just quite a few. It was difficult on my family and my health. And so I was thinking, like, what am I going to do, once I retire? And I had this little seed thought of maybe I'll be a handyman. It just kind of popped in my head. I had a good friend who's a pastor in Fresno, and he's constantly reading, and he's always encouraging the young men in his church to stop watching YouTube and to actually start a business. He said something along the lines of, why don't you spend your time watching YouTube videos and learning a new skill? So he was down visiting, and I was like, okay. So I started watching some YouTube videos on handyman services, and I stumbled across The Handyman. I'm sure everybody knows who that guy is. And he just kind of convinced me that it's something that I could do. Early on, he was talking about Mark 8, which I purchased before I ever, probably about 2 or 3 months before I was ever a handyman. I had Mark 8, kind of just messing around with it with my wife. I would send her, you know, an estimate, $1,000 to take out the trash. And then, you know, just learning, you know, I was just thinking, oh, maybe I'll do this. I ended up buying a bucket of tools with one of those cloth inserts. Mm-hmm. And I still have the tool list of handyman tools I downloaded from some website that said you need these specific tools. So I have my bucket of tools and some really crummy business cards from Vista Print with the ubiquitous crisscross silhouettes of tools, which I tell people, please don't put that in your logo. Please don't do that. But if you do, that's okay. But, and I did a job for a friend of mine, and then he told somebody, and then I did another one, and I started kind of gaining a little traction. And the real breakthrough for me was there was a woman in our church who had become a real estate agent, and she said, hey, you need to go meet this guy, this young guy starting a property management company, and maybe he can hook you up with some business. And I had heard from just handyman sites that maybe that's a good idea. So I just cold called this guy, went and met him. He was this young kid that was starting a property management company, and he's like, we're in the conference room at the business. He's like, oh, no one's ever just approached me on this kind of thing. And I was like, hey, well, here I am. I didn't hear anything from him for like 2 weeks. And then he called me and he said, hey, are you interested in joining a networking group? And I was kind of taken aback. Like, I didn't know what that was. And he goes, it's a group of business owners in the valley here. And we get together once a week and we just network and we talk about our businesses. And I said, sure, that's fine. So I remember going there to that group and standing up in front of about 40 people who are all business owners. Some of them have been in that group over 20 years. And it came my turn to kind of give my little spiel. And I was like, I had like lockjaw. I was like, what in the world am I doing in this room with these people? And I said, well, I'm a handyman. I really didn't have much to say. And, you know, I fix things, and my name's Dan. I'm a retired firefighter. And I sat down, and then I came back the next week and the next week. And then in the course of being added to that group, a lot of professional development has happened to me being a part of that group. Because I was able to interact with other professionals. And specifically, I met a graphic designer in the group who designed my logo. And I remember agonizing over having to spend $95 to have a logo design. Then she did my business cards, then she did my t-shirts, and now she's handled everything. I think I've spent, last time I looked at QuickBooks, I'm at about $13,000 a year on marketing and advertising, which is t-shirts and flyers and website maintenance and SEO and on and on and on. So becoming part of that group really got my name into the community with people who are heavily connected with real estate agents and the Sir Optimus Club, which is a benevolent women's organization. The Boys and Girls Club president was there. I think it's called Boys and Girls Club of America. It's a local charity, but they're national too. And so I just started getting my name out there through being part of that group. And then once I got my website up and started doing some marketing, it just kind of just blew up. You know, in the last 4 to 5 months, I have broken my monthly earnings goals or records. I'm on track to make about $170,000 in gross sales this year.
Wow.
And last month I hit over 16. I think this month I'm going to hit over 18. And of course, that's gross sales. That's not profit all the way. But yeah, I'm in the position where I have to sink or swim. And I've been swimming because the water's been nice.
So it sounds like you were kind of thinking about the whole handyman thing, got plugged into the professional networking group, and then it became like, well, this is what I'm doing now. Am I understanding that right?
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
So how long ago was it then? Was it sometime earlier this year or later last year when you like got the logo website, like started putting yourself out there and going gung-ho with it?
Yeah, it was May is when I got into the networking group. I think it might have been April. And then I've just slowly been working with the graphic designer and her best friend, who's a website person. And that was before we knew about your services. So
that's all good, man. as long as something works for somebody, that's and it's working for them, that's all.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was April or May of 2023 or
2022.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we didn't really. It was September when we finally sprung for the website, and that's we had read something about the best time to advertise is 90 days ago, and so yeah. I was like, "Dang it, I missed it." So we got onto Yelp. You know, Yelp's been good and bad. Not bad, but you know, it's Yelp. People that use Yelp are usually very opinionated about it. And then we became a Google verified business. And then we participate in the, I'm not sure what the program is because my wife, I got to mention my wife. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Please forgive me. she does all the social media stuff for us. She uses ChatGPT to write all our posts. She handles all the administrative stuff. She's been instrumental in our Instagram, our Facebook, our website. Really instrumental in just pushing me to raise my prices higher and higher and higher. And I'm very thankful for her. That's it.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I know something we talk about all the time is like having your spouse on board with your business and supporting you and it's just an absolutely critical component to the business, especially in the early phases when it's a lot harder when there's just not calls coming in and you're just trying to figure everything mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Early on, I had anxiety about not having work. Now I have anxiety about having too much. So, you know, I've read a couple posts on the handyman group about guys who lack confidence or they have anxiety or they're just not motivated or they have depression. So it's something I've struggled with too. I find that the thing that's helped me the most is just getting out of bed and putting on my uniform. Cause then I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. Then I go, once I start working, you know, the time flies by and I come home in a much better mood. And I realized the thing that I had agonized over for like 5 days in terms of like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this job or not. And then I come home and it's done and I'm paid. And I'm like, my confidence level. I was talking with my wife about this last night. My confidence level in the last 3 or 4 months has really been increasing to the point where I rarely feel anxiety about anything. I'm just, you know, once you do a faucet a bunch of times or a fan 8 times in one house, the same fan, or you replace an exterior door and you got to cut the stucco and grind down the slab a little bit, or just, you know, all these things that you're not used to doing, as you do them more and more, it just, you don't even think about it anymore. So
right. That's awesome. So looking at your revenue numbers, so the first year you were at about 70,000. This year you're on track to be at 170,000. What would you attribute that growth to? Like, is it just simply you're charging more for your services now? Are you busier? Like, you know, what would you attribute that to?
Yeah, definitely raising my prices. Mm-hmm. I have a ballpark figure of about $140 an hour that anytime I estimate a job. Mm-hmm. And then also just marketing, networking, referrals, my truck, just all those things combining to fill my schedule up. So mm-hmm. my schedule's been full. I've been 5-6 days a week for about the last 4 months. I recently stopped working on Saturdays because I was just getting, I was way too tired. And my right. wife was like, hello, you know, this is the same thing that happened in the fire department. You're gone all day. We don't see you. Like, you need to stop working Saturdays. So I listened to her for once. Thank you for that. I've listened to her a lot, but you know, it takes humility to say, oh, someone else might have an opinion that I need to listen to. So I've stopped working on Saturdays, except for an occasional client who only can work on Saturdays, or can do the job on Saturdays. But that's been really helpful, having 2 days off at the end of the week, and just, and I can just pound the pavement Monday through Friday, and then on Saturday I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Right.
So
that's awesome. So you're currently at about $140 an hour. What did you charge when you first started out?
So the very first job I ever did, I cherry picked off of a Facebook group. I'd seen a post 2 months prior, someone saying, is there anybody that can install these overhead shelving units for me from Costco? They're the kind you drive under in your garage, right, and they're secured to the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So I told the guy, I'll do that for $75. So it took me over 3 hours. Mm-hmm. He paid me $100. I was like, wow, $100. Now I wouldn't touch that job for less than $350.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, when you first start off, it's hard to believe that people will pay you, $300. I'm going to do a toilet tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow, on Monday, $347 to replace the toilet.
Hmm.
You know, you take it out, put a new one on, connect it, and there you go. But people do. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't want to do it, or they don't know how to do the jobs that we do. And that is a skill that can be monetized to your benefit. And, you know, I've drugged my feet over the last year, raising my prices. But as I gain confidence, and also as I see how expensive it is to have a business, I realize, mm-hmm, I got to charge more money. I mean, if I want to have a business that this year for 10 years, I have to stay in business, and that requires more profit.
Right. And where did you come up with that $140 per hour? Is that just something you just woke up one morning and was like, we should charge 140, or is there behind that?
That's we got it from your book. My wife every month goes through our bank statement and does the little formula that's in your book. I haven't done it. She's the one that tells me what the hourly rate is.
Okay. So she's the bookkeeper there. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And I like how you said she goes through every month, because that's something that I recommend to a lot of people, is like, you could set your hourly rate once, but you have to review it at the end of each month, really, to see how many billed hours you actually worked, you know? So that's fantastic. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't remember if it was on the Facebook group or whatever, but in Mark 8, once you assemble your estimate, there's a section where you can do a markup, and you can, I typically put between 8% and 11% markup on everything. And that gives me a little extra profit over and above. And people, they just approve it. They don't even think about it. So that's been helpful too, is just marking everything up, including materials too. That's something I felt guilty for doing over the last year or so, but I mark all my materials up at least 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It takes time to go pick them up.
So
one kind of common thread that has been in our conversation so far has been like this, the topic of like confidence. So confidence in like, you know, raising your rates, confidence in getting up and being able to be, you know, have professional conversations and sell people quality work. What do you think are the biggest things that has helped you gain confidence to charge what you're worth, to, you know, like you said, kind of get out of bed, put on the uniform and get to work? You touched on kind of before we clicked the record button, like your like lunch routine that gives you energy. If you could kind of just give your experience of what helps you get confidence, of gain confidence, and just feel good throughout the day doing what you're doing.
Well, my initial motivation is bills. I got to pay some bills. So that gets me out of bed. I have two sons and a wife and a house payment and a truck payment. So that gets me going. And then confidence has just been growing as I've been doing the jobs more and more. And a big part of that is incorporating proper tools. So early on, I was doing drywall repairs, and I had done those at my house a couple times, I had gotten some larger jobs doing drywall repairs, and I was texturing with the spray cans, and I'm like, this is junk. So I bought the Wagner power texture gun, which produced like an amazing result for a knockdown and orange peel. And so that tool gave me a more professional result, which in turn built my confidence. So now drywall repairs are nothing. I don't even think about them. I just go and do them. Mm-hmm. And then I think just experience, you know, just getting out there and doing it day to day, talking to people. I really enjoy talking to my clients. So, because I have a price point that's a certain level, it allows me not to be stressed out when I'm doing the job, thinking, oh my gosh, I don't need terms of money for this. And that reflects to the client with me being uptight. So if I'm charging enough money, I'm relaxed. I can talk to the people, you know, 10, 15 minutes, sometimes longer, when just be way more personable with people. And that's all based on the fact that I have an appropriate price structure.
That's a good point. One specific topic I'd love to talk, or you guys both share, Dan, what have you been eating for lunch for the last, every day for the last 4 months? And if you could kind of walk us through, because it's talked a lot about in our Facebook group is, hey, how do you guys stay fueled during the day? Do you eat a big breakfast? Do you have lunch? I'm tired of eating McDonald's every day. I guess if you could walk us through your handyman food journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. I'll tell you. So for the last 4 months, maybe 5 months, I've been eating almost the same thing. I have a can of sardines, a couple eggs, hard-boiled, a cheese, some almonds, pistachios. Sometimes I'll have beef sticks, avocados a lot. And I've been eating just fat and protein during the day because, for me, when I eat a bunch of carbs, I'm tired and it slows me down. So I've been kind of messing around with my eating schedule, and I don't eat anything in the morning except coffee with heavy cream in it. And then I won't eat until 12 or 1. It depends on the job, sometimes 2. Then I'll start snacking on fat and protein. That just keeps me mentally sharp, and I really feel like it helps me with just not being sluggish when I'm working.
What did you do before you had that routine there?
I would eat out, you know, I think the reason why I've been doing this routine is because, like I said, in the last 4 or 5 months, I've been booked every day, pretty much solid throughout the day, where before that I could do a job and then drive and eat in and out or wherever, some random place, get a burrito or something. And I started packing my lunch when I was doing jobs that were, you know, full day jobs, where I had 2 or 3 jobs in a day. And I just got inspired one day and just thought, you know, I'm just going to try to eat protein and fat and just see how that goes. I've dropped about 15 pounds.
Wow.
In 4 or 5 months. And in the evenings, I eat whatever. Like, you know, we eat a lot of Mexican food. My wife is Mexican. And I just eat whatever when I get home. And then last thing I eat is around 7. Then I fast until noon or 1 or so, and I think it's helped me physiologically. It's given me more energy, and I don't have the blood sugar ups and downs that I had before. I typically wake up not hungry and then just go, and whereas on the weekends, I have to mention too, on the weekends I do whatever, just eat whatever, and I always wake up with like it's gnawing hunger because I ate like 2 pounds of nachos 9 o'clock at night.
That's awesome, man. Talking about food, some of the best food I ever had, Dan, was when we came and visited you and you made us that curry chicken and rice, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Thai curry. Great.
So it's always an interesting topic, you know. We talked about earlier Jonathan Potter. He keeps a fridge and a microwave in his truck, and you know, it's always like different stuff to do for lunch. So it's kind of a interesting topic, because When I was out in the field, we'd always just stop and pick something up, you know, at the, you know, McDonald's or Chipotle or whatever, which isn't the best, you know.
Yeah.
So, for sure, this has been the Handyman Journey Lunch Hour.
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome.
Sponsored by Crown Prince Sardines.
There you go. And hard-boiled eggs.
Hard-boiled eggs from Trader Joe's.
So Dan, what are some things that you would say has worked well in your business, and what are some things that haven't worked well in your business?
Mark 8 has worked really well for me. I would be lost without Mark 8. It's been really the glue that holds all of my customer interactions together and really sets a professional front, which distances me from my competition here in Santa Clarita. There's a lot of handymen, but I don't think any of them are using Mark 8 or marketing or anything like that. What hasn't worked well for me is handling calls in the evenings when I come home and handling inquiries. I made some improvement in that regard because I paid for the plugin for Mark 8 to be put on my website. So now, instead of me having to like physically type in the information into Mark 8 from the website submission form that I had before, it's just automatically there. So that's really helped. So I can just open up the lead. If it's something that I can do with an estimate real quick, I just type up an estimate, send it to them, it's done. Whereas before I had to type all the stuff in, and that's helped, but I'm still trying to work on systems for getting back to people. I typically don't answer my phone during the day. I used to, and my phone rings so much. That's something that's not working really well for me, is that that issue of not having someone answer the phones.
If you're not answering the phone at all during the day, like, you know, if you're ever ready to, when you get to the point of ready to hire somebody, if you get like a someone to answer that phone throughout the day, that's a lot of work that's just sitting in the phone.
Yeah.
Right.
And I feel that definitely.
Yeah. So what do you currently do? Like, what does your day look like? Like, you go to, you work, you know, what, 8 to 5, and then you come home, and do you like call people back in the evenings, or what does that look like for you right now?
Yeah, I typically start work at 8, try and aim to end by 4, sometimes a little earlier, get home, talk to my wife briefly, take a shower so that I can talk to her a little bit longer because she says I smell. then I'll just head over to the computer, do a couple estimates, a little bit of texting back and forth with people. I generally stop responding to texts and phone calls around at 5 o'clock, because then we have dinner at 5, and then it's just family time after that. So trying to having boundaries with texts and phone calls is very important to maintain family life and spousal what's the word I'm looking for? Delight.
So she doesn't kill you.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And how do you think that that's working for you? Like, are you able to call everyone back, or is there some people that go unanswered? Because, like, I don't know about you, but like for me, when I first started out, I got the reputation of like, don't call honestly because he doesn't call you back. Like, it was so bad that like I just didn't have time to call people back. And unfortunately, I just wouldn't call them back, and it sucked. But how's it for you? Like, are you able to call everyone back, or?
Yeah, mostly I am. I find that a lot of the interactions I have with clients, often I don't even say a word to them. They submit information. If the job is something that's, you know, item specific, like I need 4 ceiling fans replaced, I send them the estimate, they approve it, I schedule them via text, I show up, and that's the first time I've talked to them.
Oh, wow.
I think, you know, people in our culture nowadays are used to not talking on the phone, and I think there's a large demographic that prefers not to do that. They just want to text some information, know that you're going to show up, and then when you show up, then you start talking to them. I do get calls from people that are more like tire pickers, which I can almost immediately discern who those people are. And so then those are the people I have to call and talk to a little bit. And generally those kind of jobs don't, the inquiries don't actually pan out into being legitimate jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you do to save your time from tire kickers? Like, how do you identify that? And do you kind of give them a price or something to kind of save your time?
Yeah, I used to not give estimates over the phone, but someone, actually, I think it was Alan who said that, that you guys do that. Yeah, it was you talking with you a couple months ago. And I started thinking, that's genius. I mean, if I can say, hey, it's going to be $499 to do this job, and they're like, that's too expensive, then I don't even have to talk to them anymore.
I
refer them to one of my colleagues here in Santa Clarita, another guy that does handyman work that's usually cheaper than me. And they appreciate that, usually, if I have a good referral. That's it.
That's awesome. That's awesome, brother. So, what would you say is like your percentage of repeat clients versus new clients?
I probably have about 10% repeat clients right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have some clients. I have one client I've done probably over 20 jobs for. He's just he always needs help. And it's random stuff. Like, I need you to come over for 3 hours and unbox all this art that I bought and take a trailer load of cardboard boxes to the dump. Or I need you to move my baseball card collection into storage. He just, he always needs help. And I've done many jobs for him. I have a couple clients I've done over 10 jobs for, stuff like that. But I have a lot of repeat clients. But it's probably 10-15%, I'd say. I mean, I've only been in business not even 2 years, so I imagine that's going to continue
right.
to grow.
Yeah. On that note, like, what kind of marketing are you doing? Like, what works well to bring in like your new clients that are not repeat?
Yeah, my truck wrap. Just driving around town, I get calls probably once a week from people. And so that's that. My web presence on Google definitely produces a lot of leads. Referrals are huge for me. Just being connected with that local business community, and they've told people. And I used to try and track my referral trees, but it's impossible now. I've completely lost track of. I have generations of referrals. You know that early on, I just committed to working at a level where my presence there and doing the job right, I was actually working for a referral, and I just saw the wisdom in doing that. It's very profitable when you do the job right. That person can refer you to any number of people, and they're basically marketing your business for you simply because you did a good job and you were professional. You didn't have to pay any money for it.
Yeah. I like to call that the real influencer marketing, because people think influencer marketing, a million followers represent brands, but like every client of yours is an influencer that has neighbors, friends, family. Is there anything besides like the quality of the job and that interaction with the client that you do to encourage referrals?
Not that I can think of. I mean, never really thought about that question.
Oh yeah.
I don't really have any comment on that.
Man. Yeah, no, Alan, honestly, they do really good at with the 22-point maintenance checklist, and like basically handing somebody that brochure that talks about, you know, is the mission and their services, nice photo of the family, things like that go a long way at kind of encouraging referrals by just having something that people remember, like, oh yeah, Dan Handy Manish, like my girlfriend I was just talking to or whatever needs some help. And
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do that exact thing. So any job that I go on goes along this line. I park my truck where people can see it if they open up the front door. Then I'm standing there with my hat on and my uniform shirt. I have a brochure. I have a business card. I usually have a dog treat in my pocket because people have dogs, and I try and make friends with the dogs immediately and establish some rapport. And I have boot covers, and I say, would you like me to wear boot covers in your house? And that's that's kind of like the first initial impression that people get of me. And I think that goes a long way in promoting my business and getting referrals.
Yeah. I love the dog treat thing.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to write
that's
that.
That's a good trick.
That's a fun little idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Another thing that we like is, you know, on our brochures on the back, we have a picture of all of our employees. So at the end of the job, they give them the brochure and they circle their picture and they say, oh, you know, my name's Micah or Jim or whatever. And oftentimes we'll get a review right after that and they'll use them by name. You know, it's kind of cool. So it kind of puts a name to your handyman. It's like, okay. And it, you know, so kind of a cool little touch. That's great.
It is. Yeah.
Fantastic. So Dan, what would you say are some of your biggest wins in business, along with kind of your biggest losses? Like, I know you've been at this not quite 2 years, but what would you say is like one of your, or a few of your biggest wins that you want to share?
Right now, I think my biggest win that hasn't actually been won, but it's about to be, is a job I landed with the Residence Inn Hotel. They have 18 suites and they have individual fourth floor units in the suite, and they were getting noise complaints. So the manufacturer of the unit sent them a heavier door, but it wouldn't fit into the opening of the old door. So they called me to demo it out and reframe it, install the new door. And that lowered, they have a decibel meter in the hotel room and they measure the decibel meter. The sound, it lowered it down to the acceptable, I think it's 43 decibels or whatever. And so they have 17 other rooms that need that done in. So that's going to be a huge win for me. Just getting it more into the commercial market. And then also just financially, I can probably knock out two or three of those a day.
Yeah.
And that'll be really profitable. I think I consider a day a win when I make $1,000. Mm-hmm. And specifically, as I'm doing two or three projects, trying to get to that amount, getting a call from someone who says, hey, I need this thing, whatever it is. Can you do it today? And I say, oh, yeah, I can. I got, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours. I can fit you in. Here's the price. And they say, okay, we'll do it. So I can, like, kind of pad that on top of what I already had scheduled. Those are always my favorite days and days that I consider wins. As far as failures, or is that what you asked me?
Or losses. Yeah. What are some biggest like losses or failures that you've kind of experienced in business?
I haven't experienced any huge ones. I've had a couple. I've had at least one plumbing incident on an exterior spigot that needed to be replaced. And I'm pretty familiar with plumbing, but I've never seen a spigot that was soldered inside of the pipe rather than having a sleeve that goes on the outside of the pipe. So I ended up cutting it off thinking I could slide a new one on the outside of that. And the inside of the spigot, it's hard to explain, but the spigot itself was about a quarter inch thick brass inside of the pipe. So I had to call a plumber to fix that for me. And, you know, I had ended up not making any money in that job, but the plumber's super cool. He was like, hey, man, if you want, I can park down the street and just walk up there and, you know, tell him that you did it. I'm like, no, it's not a deal. They already knew. I called a plumber to help me out. Mm-hmm. So they didn't have water for 2 or 3 hours, but I took care of that. I haven't had any great failures yet.
That's good. I'm
thankful for that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So on that note, we haven't asked yet. Is there any like in your business, do you have any specific like focus services that you really prioritize and like have a bulk of your work or a specific set of things? And then in that same vein, maybe it's the same, but do you have one or two like of your favorite or most profitable services that you like to do as a handyman?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of regrouting. That's I just enjoy cutting out the grout and then regrouting something that produces a great result. It's not hard. and the client's always really pleased with that. Changing out toilets is very profitable and enjoyable because it doesn't take a lot of time. And the client's always mystified at how quickly I can do it, you know, because there's not much to it, you know, as we know. But to someone who's never done it before, they just think, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? It's just impossible. I got to move a toilet. I think along the same lines, but the one thing I don't like doing is painting. And I don't do much painting at all. I'm actually on a job right now where I'm painting, but it's in a shed. So it's not like interior painting where everything has to be perfect. I'm just masking stuff off and going in there and spraying the heck out of everything. But I'm not a big fan of painting. I love replacing fans. I love just doing GFIs and switches. And that's about it.
Fantastic. So, Dan, would you have any parting advice? What kind of advice would you have for people watching or listening today? Either some people might just be looking to get started in this business, or some people might actually have had a business for 1-2 years and might be in the same position you are. What kind of advice would you have for our listeners today?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is that branding is essential if you want to be successful in business. You need to hire a professional graphic designer, get a proper logo designed, someone who can work with you about the mission of your business, your personality, the services you're going to offer, and design a real proper logo that will brand you and you can go on all of your marketing endeavors. That's the first thing I would tell people, because if you're going to be successful, you have to be branded and you have to market. That's the second thing, is that you got to do proper marketing, getting a website, getting the Trucker app, getting Google verified. I would not neglect those things at all if you intend to be successful. And once you do those, you'll feel better about your business because you'll look more professional. It's going to distance you from your competitors, because there's a lot of guys doing handyman work, but they don't think about it as a business. They're just thinking about it as, I just got to make some money. Mm-hmm. So having the proper mindset at the beginning and understanding I'm starting a business, I need to do it properly. And then you'll see results that will come from that, you know, months and months and months later on down the road, and realize, man, I'm glad I actually took the time to get properly branded and do proper marketing. And then the next thing I'd say is just do it. If you're thinking about becoming a handyman, there is a huge need, and it's only going to increase because there's so few guys going into the trades. And as population gets older and older, people aren't able to do the work for themselves, or they don't want to do the work. There's people that have money and they just need someone to show up who can do the service right. And they're paying people sometimes who can't even do the service right, who don't show up, who aren't professional, because they just need somebody to do it. So there's a huge untapped potential for handyman services, I think, across the country. Mm-hmm. And I think it's only going to grow more in the future. Hmm. And then thirdly, I would say just jump in with both feet. Don't kind of like wonder, oh, I wonder if I can do this. I don't know if I can do it. I mean, I would set aside a 6-month goal and just say, I'm gonna try this for 6 months after I get properly branded and I'm doing some marketing, and then just go for it and hold on to see your pants, because I'm pretty sure you're gonna be successful if my experience is anything like yours would be.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, fantastic. That's really good advice, Dan. I got a shout out to anyone that needs inspiration on like branding and like especially photography. Looked up Handy Manish in Santa Clarita. Dan, I commend like the photography, like the branded stuff you put together on, you know, Google and website. I'm sure your business cards and everything's really tricked out. It's a really great example of a great brand, and also adding personalization in your marketing, because you're the guy that's showing up in their home. And so when they can connect that with the marketing and see, you know, you in front of your wrap truck with your tools, it's really effective. So all mm-hmm. I would recommend just checking out Dan's online presence and the photography branding. It's really good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Handymanish.com.
Handymanish.com. Well, thank you so much, Dan, for being on this podcast and all that you've been doing. You've really been killing it in the handyman business. So it's a pleasure kind of interviewing you today. I also want to say thank you to my co-host, my partner in crime, Jason Call. He is your marketing man. If you need anything marketing related, websites, SEO, advertising, anything like that, Jason over at handymanmarketingpros.com is your guy. And then my name is Alan Lee. You can reach out to me at handymanjourney.com. I am a business coach for handyman and also operate the CEO now of my handyman business here in Sacramento, California. Again, if you want to reach out to Jason, you can set up a free call with him at handymanmarketingpros.com, or you can reach out to me at handymanjourney.com. Also, we want to give you guys more content. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. Check us out at handymansuccess.net. We have monthly webinars that we do for you guys. So go to handymansuccess.net and subscribe to that email list so that you can get the information for the next upcoming webinar. You can also learn more about both of our businesses and how we kind of have a vision to transform the handyman industry there. Again, that's handymansuccess.net. But thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening to these podcasts. We really do these things for you and are honored that you guys join us every single month for these webinars. So thanks again to Dan and Jason, and I hope you guys have a fantastic day.